I will bless His name again. He is here, listening closely, hearing and calling out Your name. Touch Him, You will never be.
Sing that one more time. Just picture Him here now.
He is here. Hallelujah. He is here.
Pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, that You promised to us wherever two or three would gather, Lord, that You would be in the midst. And we're grateful to know that with the spiritual eye, Lord, we can already know You're here with us. And we're grateful, Lord, because this meeting would mean nothing if You did not show up. But we're grateful people tonight to know that we serve the living God. We serve the God that not just died, but He rose again the third day, and He's alive forevermore. We thank You for being the same yesterday, today, and forever. I pray, Lord, that Your hands would reach out and heal this people tonight. Lord, that if there be any sickness, if there be any downcast, Lord, if there be anything that's any strongholds of the enemy, that, Lord, the Word of God would destroy that tonight. Lord, and we would walk as victorious Christians, save the lost, heal the sick, and encourage those that need it. Commit this service into Your hands. May You be glorified. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 8 tonight. Sure appreciated that song. That was wonderful.
Thank You, Lord Jesus. Blessed be You. Thank
You. You know, I work at a school and it comes up pretty often about Christianity and what people think they have to do and what they don't have to do. And I'll tell you one thing that kind of bothers me after talking about it so much is people just have so many of their own ideas about things. And if they would just realize that He really is standing here, I think that would change everything.
Amen.
If they can look past when I'm telling them what the Word of God says and realize that God Himself said He is His Word,
Yes.
then they would stop stumbling at this flesh and realize that the Almighty God is speaking.
Yes, sir.
You think of a sports game, just to use this as an example. In a sport, the rules are supposed to dictate the game. Well, we all know that we have refs, we have umpires, we have things of that sort that are men. And men try to enforce the rules, but they always miss here and there because they're just carnal men. Because the word, the rules, and the man are two different things.
Oh, that's good. Amen.
But it's not the same with Christianity.
Ah, right.
The word is the rules, and He's the man.
Yes. Amen.
Mm-hmm. And He don't miss it. You don't miss a thing.
Right.
You know, if you played a game on, let's say a video game in one of those games, they don't miss any calls. They see them all.
Yeah.
Because it's in the game. It knows everything that's going on. We got a ref that knows everything that's going on.
Yes.
You can't pull one over. You can't hide a foul. He knows what's in your heart.
Amen.
Yep. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 8. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. I'll just stop there for now. I'd like to preach tonight the true tabernacle. Heavenly Father, we thank You again for the time to read Your word. May the words come off the page, Lord, and may the people see that You're speaking to them tonight. I thank you, Lord, for letting your presence be here. I wouldn't know what to do without it. But we're grateful you're here. We give you the praise. We give you the thanks. Move in this service, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, we ask it and believe. Amen. You may be seated. As we've gone through the book of Hebrews, there's been many things that Paul has laid out. What he's trying to get over to the Jews. We understand that the Jews were the ones that held the Word of God in the Old Testament. They are the ones that were given the Word of God. They were God's chosen people.
Right.
But even amidst that, they had chosen law over grace, and thus God had given them something of their own desire, which was not His intention from the first place. When they received the law, God knew they would not be able to fulfill the law, and that's why He didn't want to give it to them. He wanted them to stay under grace, but they refused it. And as they began to serve God under law, and they would try to serve God, and they would do His dictates the best they could, every man began to realize, I cannot meet up to God's standard.
Amen.
We could go through all the examples. We could go through Moses, a man that the Bible says was the meekest man at the time on the earth. A man that was faithful in all his house. Even Paul says that. But the same man, when it came down to the rock, he was supposed to speak to the rock. And that man failed the word of God and he smote it twice.
Amen.
He said, must I fetch water for you? And he didn't even sanctify the Lord in front of the people. He brought glory to himself.
Sure.
King David, a man after God's own heart. A man that God said, I need a king. And I've taken the people's choice and I'm throwing that out the door. I'm going to find me a man. And he found a man in David. The same man wanted someone's wife. Made sure he killed her, killed off the husband. Took the baby for his own, took his wife for his own, rather. Had a baby by her, the baby ended up dying. He had to repent for that. A man that was after God's own heart could commit murder. Aren't you grateful tonight?
Amen.
Showing you that the law had flaws. The law would fail man, and it always will. And we cannot keep our minds back in that kind of a religion. If your religion is still law, you have missed grace.
Amen.
There is no mixing between law and grace. It is two separate things altogether. And that is Paul's whole point in writing the book of Hebrews. It's to show them that the dispensation has changed and you must move with it. If you do not move with Him as He is in the light, you are walking in darkness.
Right.
So we heard Brother Trevor preach this Sunday. What truly is it to blaspheme the Holy Ghost? Some people think it's just to blaspheme. Well, Paul said himself, I'm a blasphemer. What is blaspheming the Holy Ghost? When the Word of God is revealed to you and you turn it down.
Right.
Didn't happen to Paul now. Paul did it in ignorance. But the second the Word came around, look, it wasn't no book either. He already read the book. It's when the Word became the pillar of fire.
Amen.
And he saw that.
Mm-hmm.
The Word opened up to him.
Yes.
And he said, I'm a sinner. Where is salvation?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't see him holding on to his old religion, did you? He said, I counted it as dung.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to do with our religion.
Yeah.
That's contrary to grace.
Yeah.
That's contrary to the Word of God. We need to count it dung because that's all it's worth.
Yeah.
If you're saved because you don't have a TV, get that dung out of your life. We are saved by grace. We are saved because God Almighty looked at you. And when He saw you as a sinner, He knew the price He had to pay. And He did it. Nobody twisted His arm. Nobody convinced Him. He already decided it before the foundation of the world. Verse 1. Now the things which you have spoken, this is the sum. So Paul's bringing it. Look, I've told you these things as we went through, separating Jesus from the angels and the oath with Abraham and Abraham's seed. And as he brought it down, he says, now let me bring this all together into something, the climax. This is the sum of the things I'm trying to say.
Amen.
We have such a high priest. Can I emphasize that word, have? He's always there.
Yep.
He doesn't go on vacations. He doesn't have to die, as we read before, a priest that would come and have to die and then come up again and have to die. But He is a priest forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. And He used the word tabernacle. Anywhere outside the message, just about anymore, they don't know what that means. A tabernacle is just a dwelling place of some sort. It could be a house, it could be a tent, it could be any of those kind of things. The true tabernacle. Which the Lord pitched, and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests who offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For, see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. So when Moses began to build the tabernacle, he began to come down off the mount after being up there 40 days to come down in stone. Look, this is what God told me to do. He did not make it up.
Right.
He saw the heavenly tabernacle. He saw where God dwelt. He saw what God had in his house.
Uh-huh.
He said, I will make it the same way. And you can rest assured, if you'll just take the word as the pattern and build everything in your life around the word of God and making it the same as the word, you will always hit right.
Amen.
It's when we want to add to it, when we want to take away, when we want to put our own ideas, things fall apart.
Sure.
Isn't that what happened? They began to offer incense unto God. And what did two people do? They got a little fanatical, got a little ahead of the process, and tried to offer up incense in the wrong way, trying to offer up praise living in sin. And what happened to those two young boys? I hope you know the story. They died on the spot.
That's
right. This isn't time to play around with the word of God. It's time to know where we stand and to walk with it with all our hearts.
Amen.
So Moses had seen the tabernacle in heaven. We went through about Melchizedek. We understand that Melchizedek was God in priest form forever. Never started, never ended. He always was. So the tabernacle he had built was always this way.
Amen.
He never had to add to it. He never had to take away from it. It was always the perfect way it needed to be. But it had a function in time. You just wait here, man. We're going to get there. It had a function that he was going to fulfill in time itself. I'm trying to think where I want to go real quick. Y'all praying for me? I'll tell you what, I'm going to say this real quick. I think some people, y'all might be praying a little too much for services. Because I'm being honest as a man. I'll say this like Paul, I speak like a fool. But I've been trying to study. And every time I just is like, where is the thought? Where is what God wants me to say? And it gets all the way until, you know, it's about 6 o'clock Wednesday night. I'm going, Lord, what am I supposed to say? I've got to preach in an hour. Sure enough, I was in there praying. I felt his presence. And you know what? That's all you need. That's all you need. Can I preach that? Is that all right for you? You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to memorize how it works. Just make sure he's around.
Amen.
Because he'll make the decision for you.
That's right.
Go, my Lord, I want to be a witness. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Don't do anything.
Amen.
Just say, Lord, walk with me.
Amen.
Talk through me.
Amen.
That when I'm on the job, don't come up with some equation on how you're going to witness to somebody. Just yield yourself and say, Lord, you speak.
Amen.
You speak because your words are life.
Yes.
And the only things that give life are the word of God made manifest. The word of God cannot stay in this book. That was not God's intention. The word must transfer into you.
Amen.
And it can't just sit there. That word must live. Or you don't have the word, you have a thought.
Yep.
That's where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? So many people claim Christianity. And I'll say even the message of the hour. Let's just bring it right on home. Is that all right? They adhere to these things. Yes, we kicked out the TV. Yes, our women wear long hair. Yes, we have skirts. But for some reason, when we pray for the sick, nothing ever happens. They just die. That's where the rubber meets the road, because the Bible said what the signs were of a believer.
Amen.
And it did not say any of those forms of religion, because Christianity is not a religion.
Yes.
It is God.
Yes. Amen.
It didn't come into existence. It always was.
Amen.
People act like man created God, don't they? Because they think that religion came from man's ideas. No, no, no. Religion, let me say that right. Religion itself did come from man. But just believing in God was not. God created man. Man didn't have a choice but to believe in God, because he knew that's where he came from when it got started.
Amen.
What was Adam to do? He looked at him and, yeah, I know where I came from.
Sure.
That's why you watched the serpent. He didn't go after Adam at all.
Nope.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
So we look at this tabernacle. We look at the minister that's standing in this tabernacle. And he is your high priest.
Amen.
And what does the high priest do? He stands in the tabernacle for the people that are sinners, to take offerings and to offer them up to God, that they might be accepted, and they come back with the word to say, you are forgiven.
Amen, amen.
We watched the tabernacle that was built on earth. And it had three stages to it. It had the outer court, the inner court, and the holies of holies. On the outer court was just the place to wash up. And that's really where we start out your experience, ain't it? Because you can't even approach God. It ain't about getting salvation. It's that you can't even talk to Him until you at least have a clear mind.
Amen.
So many people stood in Jesus' presence, and how many of us wish we would have had that opportunity?
Sure.
But there's millions who thought it was worthless.
Sure.
They said, "My, that was a boring service. He didn't even raise his voice."
Yes.
Brother Jones down the street, man, he's a preacher now. You need to go hear him talk about Moses and the Red Sea parting. But when it came down to that God being here, he didn't have a sermon no more. You had to come listen to little 5 foot, 320 pound Jesus that just said, "Son, your sins are forgiven."
Right. Amen.
Then he started up a church split, didn't he?
Uh-huh.
Half of them said, "How can this man do this? He has to be of God." The other one says, "Oh, no, 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 no. Our denomination has already figured out what the word is supposed to mean, and there ain't no man that can forgive sins." And they're exactly right. But they couldn't look past the veil on who was forgiving sins.
Amen.
Do you understand that the God in you does the same thing?
Yes, sir. Amen.
How else could Jesus say the sins that you retain are retained and the sins you forgiven are forgiven?
Right.
Be careful what you say about those that treat you wrong.
Right. Amen.
Christians, I think sometimes, they don't realize how much power they're packing.
That's right.
And they'll use it for negative because they don't think they have it,
right,
instead of using it for positive. Somebody crosses you, that's not the time to send them to hell.
Right.
It's the time to pray for them.
Amen.
You watch what happens for a man that crosses a Christian. And you don't give him any mercy, watch what will happen to him. He's under judgment. Now, I understand that all things work together for good. All things are in the plan of God. And that will happen to millions in this life.
Sure.
They will have to die and go to hell. Not because God desired it, not because you and I desire it, but because they want it.
Right.
You have to fight to go to hell.
Amen. Yes.
Yep. Every time you lie, you know there's a prick in your heart that says, "Don't do it."
Amen. Yep.
Every time you want something, you want to covet somebody's things, or you want to talk bad about somebody, there's always a prick in your heart that says, "Don't do that." And men run over that a million times a day in this Laodicean world that we live in. But I hope that tonight we're not talking to a group that are trusting in themselves, that are trusting in what they have done or not done, but they are trusting in a man that stands in the sanctuary of God from time and eternity, that has always stood there in the gap for them.
Yes, amen. Come on.
We look at this Melchizedek. He was different than other priests, as we know. Other priests didn't have oaths. They just came into it because of who they were, just the son of Levi. They would just go around and say, "Hey, I think he looks like a pretty good high priest." They had certain requirements they had to fulfill, but I'm sure they just thought, "He's a good one." And man chose him. He said, "All right, you be the high priest."
Uh-huh.
Now, that wasn't the way it started, was it? But that's what happens when man gets a hold of God's program. And that's the way it is anymore in churches. It used to be that God would call a man and he would go and preach the gospel. But now you have to work through a system.
Yeah.
Don't tell me this doesn't work in the message. It's the same thing today as it was in any other denomination.
Yes,
right.
Yes, sir.
God can't just call a man. He has to work through a system. And anytime you add a system to the Word of God, you have left the Word of God. We have one high priest. We have one sanctuary. And He is standing in the gap for His people. He has never left the throne. He has never left His seat where He rules all heavens and earth.
Amen.
But we understand that where He sits, and I trust tonight, is still the mercy seat.
Amen.
But the same seat will become the judgment seat.
Sure.
This man had an oath. As we could go back in Hebrews, just one chapter there, Hebrews 7:21, he says, "For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that said unto him, 'The Lord swear and will not repent,' thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." So before that this ever came to being, before there was ever even a need for a high priest, it was already decreed in God's mouth, "Thou shalt be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek."
Yes.
Melchizedek, God made man.
Amen.
If we watch this oath, and this just came to me here, I'll turn back there. Deuteronomy, if you want to flip with me, that's fine. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Again, the carnal mind lots of times will take things in the wrong angle. For instance, looking at the children of Israel, looking at a people that, why did God choose them out of all the nations in the world? We already know that their founding father, there was another holiness preacher that had more virtue than he did.
Amen.
Remember when he came into, was Abimelech, I believe, he came into his city, he said, here, take my wife, she's my sister. And he was going to take her for a wife. And as he was saying his nightly prayers, the Spirit of God came to him and said, you're good as a dead man. Why didn't God choose that man over Abraham? Because God has never looked at the merits of his elected. He just loved them. He just chose them. And God does what he wants to.
Amen.
Some people I just don't get it sometimes. You know what? Let's just say this is the case. Let's say that, you know, God's just a mean old God and it's the only way it's going to work. And people go, well, then I ain't going to serve him. That's funny because you treat the government a lot different than that, don't you? They're all crooked. They're all wrong. They all want to kill you. But we'll go, okay, fine. We'll work with their rules. Perceptions is skewed because they think God's just some little thing that you can just ignore and push off in the corner. But one day when the white throne comes down and they see those fire eyes of judgment, you realize what happened when they got the revelation of who he really was. What were they doing? You read that in the book of Revelations? They were hiding under the rocks, in caves, saying, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb.
Sure.
The true believer. Jesus Christ has never changed. Let me say that. His personality has never changed. It depends on your relationship with him. What part of his character comes to you? Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor chose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you. Hallelujah. And because he would keep the oath. Oh, you wait till we get to this. Because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the house of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. What was it? Abraham had an oath that his seed would dwell in there, but he'd bring them out with a mighty hand. Amen. And as that came into God's remembrance, when he saw them down in Egypt slaving under taskmasters, he said, I cannot let my word fail. I will hear my oath, and I'm coming down to deliver. Amen. A lot of people, when they heard Moses say, let my people go, they thought that was Moses saying
sure.
that. But God said, let my people go.
Yeah.
They weren't Moses' people. He never claimed them. They were God's people.
Amen.
And he said, I remember my oath that I had. And remember, he gave an oath to Abraham that by two immutable things, and that it was impossible for God to lie, his seed shall possess the enemy's gates.
Amen.
And before the foundation of the world, he had an oath. Thou art a priest forever.
Amen.
After the order of Melchizedek. Which means that blood was already there.
Amen.
It was already over the tabernacle.
Amen.
It was already on the mercy seat. So when sin came to take the sons of God out of the presence of God, there was already an atonement there that Satan couldn't do anything.
Hallelujah.
Because he never started being a priest. He always was the priest.
Amen.
Can you catch the revelation tonight? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Your standing with God never changed.
Amen. Never.
And your perception of your standing was
changed.
That's right,
yes.
So we walked in the face of the world, didn't we? We didn't realize there was somebody interceding for us for our ignorance. We thought we had it all figured out, didn't we? Even when we came into what we thought was the message many times, we thought we had it figured out. Well, if I do this, I do that, I'm good to go. But as you tried to walk in these things, as you tried to walk in law, and law is very deceiving sometimes, the best intentions
sure.
go to law many times. I don't think women should dress immorally, but you can take that to the point where they think that that's why they're saved. And what did you just do? You told Melchizedek, you're not good enough. Your atonement that has lasted, that never had to start, never had to end, that's always been there, was not good enough. I need a hand in this.
And that's why people can't receive the Holy Ghost. They want a hand in it.
Amen.
They want to go back and say, look what I did though. I deserved the Holy Ghost. Anybody that's received the Holy Ghost, that's the last thing you're going to hear out of their mouth. I am saved by grace.
Yeah.
And grace in your heart will automatically produce obedience by love.
Amen.
As you watch, you look at Christ in the eyes. As you see this tabernacle and Him standing there, and you can see that your sins are the ones that are going up there and lashing Him, the reason His blood was ever spilled in the first place. How can't you help us say, Lord, I'm sorry.
Amen. Hallelujah.
The only reason a man can't, because he never fell in love with Him, he's got too much pride. He's in love with himself. That's really the only two choices when you break it down. You either will love God or you'll love yourself.
Amen.
So why did this priest have an oath? Because before the foundation of the world, God already decreed, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. He knew what Jacob would do. He knew what his name was. He didn't even call him Israel when he said that. Even in him being Jacob, even him being a liar and a thief. Oh, come on, church. Back when you were walking in the fangs of the world, when you would have cursed God and used His name in vain, left and right, He still loved you.
Amen.
And instead of letting you walk in ignorance, one day, that's all you need. One day with Jesus will change your life.
Yeah.
That's all Moses needed. He had 40 years of school. He had 40 years of unschool. He still couldn't find God. But in 5 minutes with God,
amen,
he knew what his whole life was. He knew what his purpose was. Everybody's looking for purpose and trying to do this and trying to do that. Why don't you just go talk to the Master for a little while and figure out what He wants you to do?
Amen.
And then be content with that.
Right.
Say, well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not this. I'm not that. Are you a Christian?
Amen.
Well, praise God. You got all eternity to have fun.
Amen. Amen.
Don't worry about this little space of time. Let's leave this tabernacle here. Is that all right? I'm not talking about this four-walled building. This is just a nice place for us to gather. Let us go up into the heavenly tabernacle.
Amen. Yes, Jesus.
Where I was going into the three courts, I forgot to keep going with that. Where before we dwelt in the outer. Actually, we dwelt outside all of it, didn't we? Finally, one day we decided, let's go to the outer court. First thing there was a pool to just to get your mind washed up long enough you could actually talk to God and hear His voice. Because we're listening to so many other voices so many times, and it still affects Christians today. If you don't listen to the voice of God, Satan's got a million other ones to choose for you to listen to. And that's why it's so important to get away and to get into what I'm about to say, the holies of holies.
Amen.
Not you and my grandma, not you and wife, not you and hubby, not you and children, you and Jesus. You and Melchizedek. And as you walk into the inner court, it would be closed off to where you get pretty intimate. Some people get too comfortable in that. They get too comfortable just being a part of church, just being to where you feel His presence come down. That's not what He wants. He don't want you feeling it in there. He wants you to be in it.
Because
uh-huh. Remember, who was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies?
Amen.
One man. The high priest. Let's go back to Hebrews for a second here. Hebrews chapter 8. Verse 2, we're just going to read on down. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. I just lost that verse. I think I deleted it somehow when I was looking for this. We look at gifts and offerings that the high priest had to offer. They had to offer peace offerings for this. They had to offer trespass offerings for this. They had to offer sin offerings for this. And it became very repetitive. It became very hard to stay conscience free, didn't it? Because every time you do something else, it was another time to go get another offering. But if I could remember what that scripture was, the Bible says that He paid for the sins of the world. He gave the gift of His own blood one time. So what's the only gift in this sanctuary that is needed? The blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And as we know in the book of Revelations, that blood was shed in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. It has always stood for the atonement. Why do you think the Old Testament saints could pull benefits from it when it hadn't even come on earth yet? Because it already existed in God's mind.
Amen.
And the thoughts of God are real. And I'll say the same the prophet did. If you can see that, it opens up everything to the Scriptures.
Amen.
That God never changes in essence. He never changes his mind. He never adds to it. These things have always been.
Yes.
Before you said one thing wrong, before you had one sin, there was already blood on the mercy seat.
Amen.
The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was the only gift needed in there. Because the high priest would walk in there. And remember, he had the right garments on. He had those garments of praise to where if he stopped moving, you would know he was dead in there.
Right.
I'm afraid too many churches might be the same way. I ain't here just to have a Pentecostal fit either and just be crazy. But I'm saying if there ain't no movement, if there ain't nothing, there ain't no life.
Right.
You don't get into the presence of God, a Holy Ghost filled Christian, and just go, well, that was nice. You know, it's pretty cool to watch his presence, you know. And that's the problem. Too many Christians step back and they like to watch the fire. Because it's relaxing, isn't it? You go to the campfire, isn't that one of the greatest things we love to do? Just sit back and watch it. But go ahead and jump in it one time. You tell me how long you can hold still. And it's the same in a service. The pillar of fire shows up and you're in the middle of it and you can't move. I don't think you're in the fire yet. How about we just go ahead and just double barrel jump right into it for once. Woo! Man, that was good. What? Yes, Lord. I never watched a man just stand in the fire and not move. Woo! Come on. And once you get in that Holy Ghost fire, you can't help it. Something happens. As long as there's life inside of you, it will respond to the presence of God. And if you come into service with a need, just recognize His presence is here. I don't feel it. It doesn't matter. He said it. I believe it. I receive it.
Amen.
The oath from the beginning of the world. He is my priest. He has died for my sins. And how do I know? Because He sent me a spirit. Spirit can't fill just anyone now. It's only to the elect. It's where your ministry, your tabernacle no longer is yours. It becomes part of another tabernacle that never started, that never ended. And guess what? You always had to be there.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Verse 4. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests which offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern shown to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. What was the promises? I already did it. You just receive it.
Amen.
Aren't those a lot better than thou must do this, thou must not do this? Do this Tuesdays, do this Thursdays, do this on April the 13th for 7 days and trying to keep that straight. I tell you what, just me reading it, I don't know how they kept it all straight.
Right, amen.
Because every time I thought they had this feast day at this time and now it looks like they're having this one and trying to do all these things. This covenant has a better promise. I have already done it. You receive the benefits.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Lord. But the only way you can recognize that is you're part of the covenant. You are part of the atonement. It wasn't shed just randomly. It was shed for me.
Amen.
And I have received it.
Amen.
From the true tabernacle.
Right. Amen.
Verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Now let me be careful real quick with this. It makes it, again, make you think that God made a new covenant that didn't exist yet. See, because he said the first covenant was here, and as the second covenant, what did we preach before? Changing back to what never changed.
Amen.
The second Adam existed before the first Adam.
Right.
You go ahead and digest that for a minute. Let it soak in. Also in the Bible, guess what? 1 + 1 is still 1. You know, well, that's not possible. The Bible said so. Jesus was 100% man, 100% God at the same time. Sometimes we forget who we're talking about here. You say, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, that's funny because the one that only makes sense, that only thought of everything that's ever existed, thinks it makes sense. I think he figured it out. I don't think he needs our minds to try to go figure it out for him. Verse 8, talking about the old covenant now. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant. Can I stop there? This is the only covenant God has made in the New Testament church. There is no other covenant he has made with man. And this was his covenant from the foundation of the world. This is what he wanted to tell man. That I will make the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. What? I wonder why in the book of Revelations he said, I hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Why? It was completely against his covenant.
Right.
His covenant says, they will all know me, from the least. Your 2-year-old, your 3-year-old, your 4-year-old, 20-year backslid, whatever you want to call the least, to the greatest, whatever you think is the greatest, everyone will know me.
Amen.
Because it's not them finding the book, the Bible, reading it, memorizing it, and then trying to act upon it. It is that the life of the Bible, the life of the Word of God comes into you, and it's written in your heart.
Amen.
That's just what you are.
Amen.
You can't help it. You have to live this way. And when anything contrary comes to that, even when you let it live for a little while, you can't abide in it. You only can abide in the Word of God.
Amen.
And if you're able to live in sin and be comfortable, I have a hard time believing you met the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I ain't talking about being sinlessly perfect either, because what are you doing when you do that? In your own strength now, sinlessly perfect in your own strength, you are going back to the first covenant that fails.
Amen.
But stay in this covenant where your atonement is already made without you even asking for it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxes old is ready to vanish away. And how many times do we take our experience and put it back in the covenant that is vanishing away?
Uh-huh.
We think our standing with God goes like this, don't we? Oh, I did pretty good this week. God must be happy. Nope. Mess it up. Back down. You don't love me no more. Must be servant if you get low enough, right? You start saying things like that. Come back up again. Oh, I'm doing good. I got my prayer life. I actually prayed 2 or 3 times this week.
Uh-huh.
It has nothing to do with any of that. You're standing before God. Is this the blood between you and Him?
Amen.
And if you receive the Holy Ghost, it is. Forever. He will never see the old man.
Never.
Because that which was from the old covenant, which was from first Adam, is vanishing away.
Amen.
From glory to glory, he's changing me.
Amen.
Into whose likeness? The books, the laws? No, into his likeness.
Amen.
Go to Revelations 1 for a minute. I'm going to try to wrap this up here. John was given another picture of this tabernacle that God Almighty dwelt in. Revelation 1. Let me just read from verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and had heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the 7 churches which are in Asia, and Ephesus, and Smyrna, and unto Pergamus, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks, which we know represent the 7 church ages. And in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. So we watch, who is this man? It's Melchizedek again. He's still standing in the tabernacle that he never had to leave, that has always been existent for time and eternity, with the 7 golden candlesticks, the same thing that Moses put into the tabernacle when he built it, because it was the same pattern he saw back there. But in the midst of the candlesticks, there's one walking, like the Son of Man. We know that the Son of Man is Jesus Christ. But was he alone?
Nope.
Come on.
Oh, glory to God. Whew. And I only got one of the quotes. God have mercy. And I don't know what happened to the other one. Brother Branham says this in Why We're Not a Denomination 58. Under the golden candlesticks of the Jewish tabernacle on the inside of the showbread and so forth, there were seven golden candlesticks, as you all know that. See, there's seven church ages. That speaks of the seven church ages alike. Now, if you notice in Revelation 1, we see Jesus standing in the seven church ages, the seven golden candlesticks. When he turned and saw one like the Son of Man standing there with how was it? It was a bride standing in the candlesticks drawn out. Yes. Glory to God. And if I could show you the other one, he says, it was the bride standing there. Because look at what it says here. Verse 14, his head and his hairs were white like wool. How are we white like wool? We're in the blood of the Lamb. To where our red sin and his red blood hit each other and it became white as wool. Yeah. Hallelujah. And as it were snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass as a burn in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And we already know what the book of Revelation said about waters. Waters is multitudes and multitudes of people. And as this one man that John looked at, he saw that was one like unto the Son of God. Inside that man was all of us.
Amen. Amen.
And as we walked into the tabernacle, we realized that we were always in the tabernacle because he never left and you were always in him.
Amen.
Woo, glory to God. And we know that in the book of Revelations, the girdle was here. It was about his, before, it was about his waist because he was being priest. Now the person never changed, but his office did. He was the priest for us. Because he could look inside himself and says, I have to die for them. And as the prophet said, when he died, I died in him.
Amen.
Because I'm a part of him. And when I died in there, I was paying for my own sins in him.
Amen.
To where I didn't have to do it. I didn't have to take my flesh and die. He took my seed and let it die with him.
Amen.
And that same man rose the third day.
Amen.
Went back to the tabernacle that he merely never left in the first place. Because that was just the body of flesh. And as that blood became manifestation now. Look, there's a difference too between existing and a manifestation. Because now we can receive the benefits.
Yeah.
Woo! Del David, I wish he could have had the benefits. Because he wouldn't have committed no adultery down there. Holy Ghost would have stopped him before he got there. Moses, when he would have went tempted to smote that rock. Holy Ghost would have been in him and says, I can't do it. I must follow the word.
Amen.
Ooh, don't you think maybe we take the Holy Ghost for granted sometimes?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad when you walk by the old bar, for some reason it don't mean nothing no more?
Amen.
You know what happened in the Old Testament before the blood was in manifestation? You would have been tempted. You'd have had the same pull to go do those things. But once you receive in the new covenant, all by grace, it is no longer a law. There's a life within you that resists that.
Amen.
You're a lamb. A lamb don't wallow in mud. He walks in nice fields. You're a dove. You don't sit on no carcass. You only like good, wholesome grain, don't you? And anytime that stuff of the world tries to get on you, you got that oil on you, don't you? The Holy Ghost pushing it back off. Keeping it off. You can't help it cutting down and coming in your thoughts. And doing, but you can sure keep brushing off. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ain't looking that way.
Amen.
Name of Jesus Christ, I ain't thinking about that person that way. One like unto the Son of Man. Walking in the midst of the church ages. Remember, Brother Ram said that that's why people are so confused, because they think that there's only one in there. There's only one church. But he said he was talking to both the true and the false at the same time. Look at the seven church ages. Remember, they're all black and white mixed together. And aren't you glad that God in his grace, and remember when he showed it supernaturally, that last one had nothing in it.
Right.
That last one was totally black. But why did the prophet have light in it? Because that was for the bright age.
Amen.
The bright age, there was a little bit of light because the message of the hour came. Because Malachi 4, 5, and 6 says, I will send Elijah unless I smite the earth with a curse. But he didn't. He sent Elijah.
Amen.
He restored us back. And there's a little bit of light left there that will be pulled out of Laodicea. But don't be confused. Laodicea in this life will roll right on. And as it rolls on, there'll be nothing. Be total apostasy. We think people are bad now. You wait. Actually, we'll be too busy rejoicing to even think about it.
Yes.
And that's the thing. I guess that's what I think we need to check up on, is realize that people are going to miss this. And I know we can't save. Don't go try and save people. You can't save people, but you can be a vessel.
Yeah.
Just had a young man come to me today. And that's the biggest thing I have to do is tear down religion. That's all I ever get to, Harley. Because I spend so much time doing that, I can't even get to the truth.
Yeah.
Kind of mean, he said something like, what was it? Something like, I'm mixing two stories up. That's why I'm getting confused. One kid did come up to me and said, so do you believe every man's evil and I need to, am I going to hell? I said, well, are you a sinner? He said, well, yeah, I do wrong. And so, well, I guess you're going. And he's like, well, what if I do all these good things? It doesn't have nothing to do with it. What are you? You just told me you're a sinner. Sinners go to hell.
Right.
Point blank, isn't it? Look, you can't be a sinner and a saint at the same time. You have to be one or the other.
Yep.
He said, so I have to say I'm sorry for the things I've done. I said, well, that's a good start, but you also have to receive that somebody paid for it. And then by that time, and that's the thing, it was so tough in this age. People's minds are so warped. Man, it took one thing, boom, they don't even... Oh, I'm sorry, I can't think right. And that's exactly what he told me.
Yeah, right.
He even said something like, I think I smoked too much pot or something.
Yeah.
That's what we live in, church. That's high school now. That ain't down here at the bar joint. That's right there in high school where everybody's coming from.
Yeah.
Another kid was talking to me. And I can't remember. He was talking about maybe even coming to church sometime. He said, you know, am I allowed to wear shorts? Am I allowed to do this? If my girlfriend comes, can she wear pants? Because he heard some things. I said, I don't care, just come. What are you talking about? Where'd you get any of this? He's like, well, I just, you know, I don't think God cares if I wear that and do this. And I said, well, that's fine. Because he said, well, everybody sins. I was like, so we're all sinners? Like, well, yeah. Well, then I guess we're all going to hell, huh? He said, well, I said, go ahead, tell me that we're all good now, please. That's what happens, doesn't it? As long as you're, you know, trying to feel bad for yourself. Oh yeah, we all sin, we all make mistakes. But when you actually begin to look at the consequences of what that really means, all of a sudden, no, I'm pretty good, I'm alright.
Sure.
Why? Because they're trying to serve God by a religion, a do, a don't. And as long as you stay kind of in the middle somewhere, you're good to go. But the Christian wakes up one day, just like the prodigal son did, didn't he? Began to look at his old tabernacle and go, this place is a dump.
Amen.
Remember, who's really the tabernacle of God? It's you. It's
yes,
you, God.
Sure. Yes.
As we begin to look at our tabernacle, go, my, that candlestick's all busted up. That showbread's been rotten for 3 months.
Amen.
It's just the heat place, wasn't it?
Right.
But if you're still looking with your own eyes, remember the Bible says, every man in his own eyes is great. Oh, I know it's a little stale, but we'll get through. We can crook. Yeah, that'll be all right. No, they don't work that way. God requires perfection.
Amen.
And if we'd realize how high that bar really is, you'd quit trying to attain to it. You really would. You would finally stop trying to be good enough to be saved.
Sure.
And just be saved.
Yes. Amen.
Yep. Not getting saved. Not staying saved. Just be saved.
Yep. Amen.
Because you've received the atonement.
Amen.
You received from the true tabernacle. And we are no longer here in just truth tabernacle. We're in the true tabernacle.
Amen.
Yep. Heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Sir, that's it.
And it takes you to step aside. To not look at Brother Andrew. To not look at Brother so-and-so. And I hope we've been taught well enough. And I say that way, that you've been taught, because I've been teaching you. But that you've been taught well enough to know the man means nothing.
Right. Amen.
That God will respond to faith anytime he sees it.
That's right.
At the end of a lesson, a lot of times, I won't get any questions. That means two things. One is, everybody got it. They don't have any questions at all. Makes sense. They're all good to go. They're going to do their homework. Two means, nobody has a clue, but they don't even know how to formulate a question because they're so lost. And that's usually what happens in a church service, doesn't it? When you watch the response of people is coming forward or anything like that, we all know that that's not necessarily needed. You just have to believe.
Yeah.
And if you really get it, yeah, you can just sit there. You don't got to ask no questions. You got it down. Go do your homework, right?
Amen.
He died for my iniquities. I'm saved.
Amen.
Because I accept it. He gave me the Holy Ghost. I'm allowed to speak in tongues. I'm allowed to prophesy. I'm allowed to do these supernatural things because he's the one doing it.
Amen.
I'm allowed to go lay my hands on the sick day, recover. I'm allowed to accept my healing and it's here, and I don't have to walk out the way I came in.
If
I'm in here battling with some devil, some bad thought, I don't have to walk out of here the way I did. If you've been taught right, you can just apply it and walk right out of here.
Amen.
But sometimes, you know, it looks like the same response, at least from this perspective. And really what it is, the message is so far over this way, way over the head, nobody gets it. Nobody even knows what we're talking about anymore. And I don't know how people teach like that. I always tell my kids, look, you got to do something. You got to do something. I can't read minds. I'm trying. I'm trying my best up here to know if you really get it or not. You have to say.
Amen.
Come on now. Now, the difference between me and God is He does know. But He still wants you to say it. I am saved. You try saying that for a while and wonder, and after a while, you know what? You'll stop letting the devil talk you out of it.
Sure.
Because if it's not you, vocalize. Look, the word of God on your lips is not you.
Right.
Can you see that? It's one like the Son of Man that is in you speaking His word out.
Amen.
And as that speaks its word out, you pull benefits from the tabernacle, the true tabernacle that has the one gift you need, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because everything that we have in our Christian experience stems from that.
Amen.
It's step one, and guess what? That's all the steps.
That's right.
The rest is stay in step one.
Yeah. Amen.
We're always trying to add things. Oh, you know, I'm 10 years down the road. Now I need to start doing this. No, just be a Christian.
Amen.
Watch God add to that.
Yes.
And I can say the same for my life. I'm only 20. How old am I? 26. I'll be 27 in a few days here or so. Why'd I do that? No. But... And I've watched God, as you don't try to do it, as you don't try to earn excelling, what we think is excelling anyways, being a more mature Christian and things, as you just fellowship with Him, those things automatically take care of themselves. Begin to realize, man, speaking in tongues wasn't all that hard in the first place.
Amen.
Because it's not you speaking anymore. Yeah, if I try to speak in tongues, I don't know these languages. How can I talk in a language I don't know? God knows all languages.
Amen.
Same with interpreting things. I don't know what they just said. He does. He's pretty smart. Isn't that what the Africans say? Yeah. God, He's smart. Same with healing. I don't know how to heal a body. But I know if He said, if I lay my hands on them, they'll be all right.
Amen.
I don't got to do the math. I don't got to get some stethoscope and all these other things and figure it all out. I just believe.
Yes.
And where did all that come from? The Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's in me, that abides in me.
Amen.
And I do not live in this tabernacle. I live in the true tabernacle. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I will be there for all eternity.
Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Yes.
Yes, sir.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Pray you receive from the Word tonight. Let's bow our heads together. Every eye closed. Do you have a need tonight from the high priest? Is there anything you want to tell him about? He's here to listen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. As we pray, let's take God at His word. He said that we should ask that our joys are full. If we're downcast, if we're sad in any way, shape, or form, I trust we're in a group of people that have received the Holy Ghost. But if you haven't, you can receive it right now. But if you have, don't be looking for other things to come. You have received the down payment to every single blessing you could ever desire. From now into all eternity. You say, well, what I asked for is a little small. No, it's not. God took a little fish and raised this life just because God wanted to. Wait a minute, I thought that was a waste of time, but God didn't. You're His bride. You're the apple of His eye. And every little thing you want, He wants to give it to you. He didn't make heaven some random place. He made it the way His bride liked it. How much more will He give you those benefits now? If you have a need, let's give that to the Lord and let's just let Him take care of it and not do it in our own strength. I trust you. Obeying the Word of God, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love You. We appreciate You, Lord. Thank You so much for taking care of us. Thank You, Lord, for the true tabernacle that You dwell in. And Lord, we don't have to walk around in darkness, but Lord, we can see that there's truth to what You've done. that you never changed your mind about us, Lord, but you looked down upon us and said you loved us before the foundation of the world. You told Jeremiah in the womb you already knew him and you ordained him a prophet. And we hear the message of the hour that says you loved us before we could ever know what love was. That, Lord, all we're doing now is fulfilling what was already in your mind since the foundation of the world. And I pray, Lord, that we would walk in perfect harmony with the revelation of the hour. Not trying to add, not trying to take away, not going to the old covenant, but staying under the covenant of absolute unmerited favor because you loved us. And we said yes. Father, I pray again, if there's one heart here that doesn't have the peace of true salvation, of the true baptism, the sealing of the Holy Ghost down on the soul, I pray that tonight all doubts would be erased. And you change that person's life to where they're not trying to be righteous, but they just are walking in you. There's one sick here, Lord, one infirmity. Lord, I pray that tonight would be the night they receive their healing. Knowing that you've paid for it, Lord, we ask abundantly that you'd heal this entire congregation in the name of Jesus Christ. For those souls, Lord, that are on what we'd call the fringe, those that are a part of our lives and we rub shoulders with them, Lord, in our hearts we want to see them saved because we know you want them saved. Help us, Lord, to be yielded vessels to your grace. That as needs would come, we wouldn't be ashamed of this gospel, but know that you will back up every word you said. And if we'd really be believers, Lord, you'll stand behind us. We love you, Lord. We appreciate you, Lord. We commit our lives into your hands. Just give us a new zeal for you, Father. Just let that fire burn within our hearts that we can't stand still. But Lord, we have to do what you told us. We have to be about our Father's business. Help us, Lord, we pray. Forgive us of all of our sins, all of our shortcomings. We confess the blood tonight. Thank you for dying for us, Lord. And we're sorry we did these things. Wash us all clean. Give us new vigor. Give us a new filling of your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Let's sing that together.
As I lift my hands in worship, and to magnify thy name, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me.
Psalm 286, if you don't know it, 286.
And flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me, flow through me, Holy.
Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Just give him praise now. Let his Spirit take all your doubts and fears away. Thank you, Lord.
As I lift my hands in worship and to magnify thy name, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me.
Sing it again, yield yourself to him now.
Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. As I lift my hands to worship,
I have a longing in Yes, Lord Jesus.
Just to be near Him. To
worship Him now. Yes, Lord Jesus.
I'm longing for Jesus. I have a longing in my heart for Him. Just to
softly, can we just worship Him and thank Him? Heavenly Father, praise You, Lord. Thank You for Your love and mercy. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for healing me, taking care of me, Lord. Healing me when I'm sick, Lord. Be my comforter when I need help. Thank You for meeting me, kind, showing the truth. Thank You for taking care of my family. Lord, praise You, love You, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Bible says He's in the praise of His people. And do you see that fulfilled tonight? As we worship Him and thank Him, He draws so close. Look, church, this is what the message came to produce. Jesus Christ is standing amongst us now. The same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't have to be in His body. You can touch the hem of His garment by faith right now. The same as touching His literal body. He's the same God. And His love for you has never changed. When He looked at the cross and the joy that was set before Him, which was you standing on the other side, He loved you so much it meant nothing to Him. He walked right through that cross. Aren't you happy tonight to be a Christian? Don't you just want to look at His face and just thank Him for a million years? Every time you're sick, who shows up? Every time you need a little money, every time you need just whatever it is, who's always there? Lord, we're so grateful tonight. Lord Jesus, thank You so much, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. I'm so happy to be a Christian tonight. I don't know how the world goes on without Christ. There's nothing in this life to live for. It all just runs out. But Christ, there's joys new every morning. I'm so happy. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Let's sing that together now.
Revealed in us, His name is called Emmanuel. 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 His name is called. Emmanuel, Emmanuel.
Tonight, but the tabernacle of God will be on earth one day. It's a city 1500 miles this way, 1500 miles this way, 1500 miles tall. Well, that don't make no sense to be in space. I ain't here to figure it out. I just want to be there.
Yeah, right.
Amen.
How many's looking for that tabernacle?
Yeah.
That the Lord pitched.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
In eternity. And it's always stood. He never had to repair it. Never had to update it. Never had to change it. It was always perfect.
Amen.
And it was built for you and I. I'm so happy to have such a wonderful God.
Amen.
I'm so glad I don't see Him with denominational eyes. As this brute God that makes me towed up to His line. Or a God so wishy-washy, I think He might cheat on me tomorrow. But the true, one and only living God that loves me and will always love me. Aren't you glad when you get to heaven, you won't have to worry about Him changing His mind about you?
That's right.
Could you imagine if we served a God like that? That after a million years, all of a sudden He goes, I don't want you no more. I'll pick someone else. Every day you'd live in fear. But not no more. We are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's just give Him a praise one more time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As long as everybody's feeling the joy of the Lord, feeling His presence, I love His presence. That's what service is really all about, isn't it?
Yes,
that's
right.
Let Him come. Let Him do what He wants to do. And once He's done, we're done.
Amen.
Heard about Smith Wigglesworth. I don't mean to go along, but I just want to say this. One time I think he was, you all know Smith Wigglesworth? End of the Pentecostal age there. I think his wife went by, or a man was walking by, looked in there, saw him preaching, went to town or something, came back, looked in there, and he was still preaching. Went up, somebody says, he's still preaching in there? He said, no, he was done preaching hours ago. He's just been talking. And that's what too much Christianity, it's not just lips, the words. It's words that pack power.
Amen.
That's preaching the gospel. These signs follow them that believe. I'm glad to be in a group of people that believe.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and sing about that. Keep me in prayer for Sunday. I don't really know exactly what direction the Lord wants. And I'm unfortunately getting used to that a little bit, but I know He always hits right every time. But just keep me in prayer. I believe the Lord will bless this Sunday. Let's sing about what will it be. That key C there, just 280, and then I'll let that go.
What will
God bless you, C.